Today I want to talk. I was listening when I'm on my way to the gym, when I make it to the gym with Steve, put the earphones on and I go to podcasts. That's what I do. It was music and I need more food. So I go to podcasts and I listen to the people who can really preach, all right? And I get my food that way. And when I'm on the lawnmower, I normally get one, maybe two sermons in. And over the last couple of weeks, it was awesome. I picked up on a series that I told you about, and I'd love to preach my version of this series. It's called What Do You Want? And the first sermon was titled, Your Wanter is Broken. And I loved it. When he began to explain what he meant by your wanter is broken, one line did it. You ready? One line, and this is the one I want you to hear, and I want to talk about as we go through these things. Your wanter is broken. If I ask everybody in this room if you wanted to give more, if you wanted to see people saved, if you wanted to see the church full, almost all of you would nod, raise your hands, or give me an overwhelming yes. But if I ask you if you wanted to do what it takes to make your want happen, the answer would be completely different. And then he went on to explain why. Our wanter is broken. We want what God wants, but we don't want to do what it takes. We don't want to sacrifice for what God wants. And folks, that's the bottom line. I'm not being mean. I'm being real, all right? Today is about real. Most Sundays, for those of you who know me, are about real. People don't come back to this church sometimes because there's real. All right, that's just the bottom line. It is what it is. All right? You've just got to understand that what we want is real, fun life together. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The next podcast, the next week after your wanter was broken, as we were planning for Town Hall, which you'll hear later, was about connecting. And it was literally about half of what I'm going to talk about today. So I was fired up, all right? And this guy ripped a line from Andy Stanley, who's down in North Point in Atlanta, huge monstrous church, all right? And here's the line. Are you ready? It's gonna go up on the screen, I think. The line says, we learn in rows, we grow in circles. We learn in rows, we grow in circles. All right? Me bag o' Legos. All right? This is going to church. Okay? We are together. We see one another. We're all around one another. We can hug one another. We can touch one another. This is Sunday morning church. On Sunday morning church, I teach you. That's what happens. We celebrate Jesus together, and I teach you, all right? Learning happens here, but growth, real growth like God intended, does not, okay? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Legos weren't made to sit in a bag. Legos were made to go together, all right? So I'm going to pull a few pieces of these Legos out here, all right? Because I want you to see some things, and I want you to see what some different people look like. Hold on. Oh, there's one. That's a good one. Let me find... Oh, right there. All right. So, you know, what you have is right here, this is normal people, all right? There's about 6 to 10 dots on this one, all right? Then you have me. You have extroverts, all right, who have like, you know, 20, 25 dots. There's a bigger one in there, but I couldn't get to it. And then you have introverts, okay? They only have about four dots, okay? We all have different levels of meaningful connection that we can make. But we could shake that bag around, we can press on it, and after 3 or 4 weeks, you know what may happen? You may be able to pull one out and they're stuck. But in small groups, you start to learn a little about each other. And you start to connect to one another. And it's true. Some of us have more space for meaningful connection than others. Some of us just can connect to 2, 3, 4 people meaningfully. But until you're ready to open yourself up, until you're ready to let people open up to you, you don't make the meaningful connections that you were intended to make. This is church. But life, growth, love, hope, learning, maturity happens in smaller groups. And that's the way it was intended. Now before you, let's go to the scripture. In Acts, when the church began, all right, people were saved, listen, by the thousands in days. And here's what it says they did as they got to know Christ. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They came to the big location and they celebrated. But look at the next line. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, do you know what happens when Jesus repeats something? He wants you to remember it. What's the next verse, Steve? In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, three chapters later, here's what it says. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. You are supposed to gather and worship and celebrate in a large group setting to learn and to be filled by the voices of the people praising God next to you, of the smiles as they walk in the door. Your need for that is great, but you have another need, and that is intimate connection. We talked about the body last week. You couldn't be a body if your spleen were over there and your hand were over there and your brain were over there. No, that doesn't work. Legos aren't doing what they were meant to do. They don't build or grow here. They grow and branch out and connect when they are together, locked in, intimately knowing and connecting with one another. Well, Craig, here's the problem. Here's the problem. At the end of the day, here's the problem. Besides the time factor, all right? And that's just a matter of priorities, people. Say what you want. Don't say what you want. It is a matter of priorities. All of the things that God asks from us, all right, time, talent, tithe, all of the things that God asks from us that we have biblically shown you God asks from us that we do here at NBC are simply a matter of priority. The third week, the third series in the lesson I was listening to was on giving, but it wasn't called that. It was called, Do You Want to Be Generous? Woo! You talk about firing me up, like hitting me right in the feels, like in the gut, all right? This was crazy, and it said, hey, tithing is not a matter of money. It's a matter of generosity. It's a matter of the heart. And listen to me. Everything that God asks of you is a matter of the heart. It's about listing out your priorities, looking at the same amount of time that Johnny has and Jesse has and Jamie has and Jody has in the day and going, this is what I'm going to give to this. This is what I'm going to give to that. It is just reality. And having people around you to encourage you or to discipline you in a way that gets you in line with God will never be bad for you, ever. So if you have a time issue, that's that. We're gonna deal with that actually during town hall. I'm gonna tell you how we're gonna fix it. All right? I'm gonna tell you. Cool, right? All right. So here's the thing though. The other problem is a vulnerability problem. Okay? A vulnerability problem. Craig, to be honest with you, I don't trust other people. I get it. When we went a year ago, you know, we're going through Unveiled and we're all just throwing our arms out and saying, here we are. I mean, my stuff went out on the internet, all right? Podcast. Talk about being vulnerable. Talk about, you know, laying it all out there. Talk about people who judge you and don't judge you, your friends, you're not friends. Hey, it happens. And that's okay. I get that we have trust issues, but let me break that down further from you. It's always been that way. Your trust issues, they're not just trust issues. It's a sin issue. And you're born with it. All right? Like that old makeup commercial, maybe she's born with it, maybe it's Maybelline. Huh. You remember that? Well, maybe you have trust issues, or maybe we're just all born sinners. Let's look back at the very beginning. Don't put the verses up yet, Steve. Hold on. Hold on. Don't put them up yet. When Adam and Eve were created, they were... literally unified with one another and with God. Adam walked with him, talked with him, probably held his hand, touched him. I mean, God is there, all right? And there's a connection that is there, that is unmatched in all of eternity. We have no idea if that was 1 day, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, or thousands upon thousands of years. We don't know. It doesn't matter. Because time doesn't matter to God. But here's the deal. Adam was connected to God. Adam was connected to Eve. Listen, they were naked, woo, and felt no shame. Listen, and felt no shame. That is completely vulnerable. So there was a point in time where we could be 100% vulnerable with God and vulnerable with one another. And that time was the way God created it. But here's what we always teach. Sin separates us from God. Let's look at when that happened. All right? Pop that up there for me, Steve. The man said, "The woman you put here with me." You hear that? "The woman you put here with me." Here's what happens. Adam and Eve eat the fruit of the tree, apple, banana, pear. We always say it's an apple. We don't know. It was a fruit. Could have been a persimmon. Then they looked real funny. Sorry, God. All right, you know, who knows? All right? But what happened was God came back to the garden and they hid. They hid for the first time in eternity. At that moment, people were separated from God. Now listen, God knew where they were. The separation was in here. Why? Because the sin is in here. God is sinless. It's not a sin problem with God. Sin separates us from God, not God from us. And yes, there is a difference. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Sin is a barrier between us and God. It doesn't move Him. But it also, and here's where we miss the mark, it also separates us from one another. And I knew it, but it didn't, the light bulb didn't go off till I was listening to something, different sermon series. "That woman you put here with me." There was a disconnect between people and God, but there was also a disconnect for the first time between people and people. She gave me the fruit and I ate it. Let's look at what happened next. In the course of time, Cain brought fruits to the soil. Cain did what he was supposed to. And Abel also brought an offering. He did what he was supposed to. But one brought fat portions from the firstborn. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But Cain and his offering, he did not look on with favor. So Cain was very angry. Now, anger in and of itself is not a sin. But anger that causes us to sin becomes sin. God asked him about it. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. And if you let it in..." Now Cain said to his brother, "Let's go out in the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Sin separates us from God. But sin also separates us from one another. And it is the church's job. It is the church's job. It is a core value of Nicholasville Baptist Church to reconnect the body of Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, to one another. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, Craig, there's no way for me to know everyone." I'm not asking you to. There's not a Lego in there with 150 pieces. You know, Miss Shelley may have 4 to 6 solid connections, all right? Johnny Ray may have 75 open ports, okay? What I'm asking you to do is invest in 6, 8, 10 meaningful relationships. I'm asking you to understand that in those meaningful relationships, there are sinners, of which, as Paul, the greatest missionary to ever walk the planet outside of Jesus, said, I am the chief of. Realize who you are, realize who everybody else is, and when all of our stuff is on the table, we all get hands in and deal with it together. You know what selfishness does? Selfishness says, I'm looking out for me. Okay? Selfishness says, I'm looking out for me. That means you have one heart, one mind, and two set of eyes looking out for you. You know what God says? God says, all of the church needs to look out for everyone else. You know what that means in this room? There are 99 sets of eyes and 99 minds and hearts looking out for you. And you're a part of the 99 looking out for everyone else. There is not a better way than God's way. We connect in rows. We learn in rows. We grow in circles. We can look back over the last 3 years. True story. We can look back over the last 3 years. And guys, please don't take this as 100%. With people, nothing is 100%. Even if you have an antibiotic that works, guess what? It doesn't work with everybody. Even if you have an ADHD drug that works, guess what? It doesn't work with everybody. So the facts I'm about to tell you, oh, they're true. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. But as we looked back over the last 3 years when we finally had some semblance of small groups going, the emotional drama in the congregation, the marital drama in the congregation, the children and teen drama in the congregation, the sometimes hopelessness and loneliness in the congregation, when we looked at that collectively, do you know what we found? Most of those people, not in small groups. We could. It's on the wall. We're looking at it, going, "I'll be." Now, listen to me. Is that everybody? No. Is it obvious to the staff that loves you and the elders that care for you? Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, you tell them. So how do I relay the job and how it works to you? Three words. Connect, cultivate, contribute. Would you please say them with me? Connect, cultivate, contribute. Say it again. Connect, cultivate, contribute. This is Preston's. I'm sure he got it somewhere, but Preston said this in staff meeting a week ago, all right? And I was like, that's it. That is what I want the people to see that small groups do. And I bet if I didn't want to nail some people down, there are people in this room who joined small groups over the last year to year and a half who would say, it absolutely changed how I see my pastor. It absolutely changed how I see my church. It absolutely changed how I see the people. It is why I am still here. I believe you'd hear a lot of that. Changed my marriage. Changed the way I parent. Changed the way I see people. Why? Because you're connected. And when you connect, we are able to cultivate in you. And once you are cultivated and begin to grow, you know what you do? You contribute. Well, Craig, you're just always talking about money. I don't care about money. We need contributions here in a lot of ways. We need nursery worker contributions. We need people who can put up with middle schooler contributions, all right? We need shingle contributions. We need HVAC contributions, Praise the Lord. We got our HVAC and the law fixed. Jesus had good aim. Lightning struck it, for those of you who don't know. We needed a new system. God was like, I got this. $8,500 job cost us $1,000. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So listen, we're able to laugh and see God working in those things, all right? But we still need people to contribute all of who they are. Well, Craig, how do you measure spiritual maturity? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say when Jesus looks for? He walks by and he looks for what? Fruit. He walks by the fig tree. It's the only time we see Jesus really get frustrated at something. He gets ready to chop it down. Somebody says, let me take care of it. No. Fruit. What is your fruit? How are you contributing to the body? That's it. Well, this person is an attender. That's what they are. They're an attender. I was talking to somebody about 3 weeks ago about membership. Church membership. I know I make a big deal about the covenant. There are reasons I make a big deal about the covenant that have nothing to do with membership, okay? There are people in this room right now who are serving in worship, serving in the nursery, serving in outside ways, giving on a weekly basis, who have never signed our covenant. And there are people in this room who have signed our covenant that haven't given in 50 weeks, that haven't served in over a year. Which one is a member? The one bearing fruit or the one not bearing fruit? Somebody said, well, it's just a piece of paper. It absolutely is just a piece of paper. But if it's a piece of paper that says, I'm on your team, you're on my team, I am giving you the right to see into my life and know all of my garbage, and you are giving me the right to speak into you, help wipe away that garbage, and make you the man or woman God created you to be to raise your family. You're signing it over to the spiritual health of Nicholasville Baptist Church and of me, and it scares me to death, but I'm called and created for it. And I have no problem after you do that looking at you and saying, what's up? Don't talk it, walk it. And for those of you who are still not walking it that I've talked to, you know I'm going to love you anyway. You know that I'm going to love you anyway. I've had conversations with you and we've gotten nowhere. And guess what? You still come to my house. Guess what? You still come here. Guess what? I still throw my arms around you and I treat you the same. I'm not perfect, but I am trying. And it will always be that way. But I will never stop asking you to do the things God asks you to do. And today, that starts with the temple courts and homes. You need to get with people, get vulnerable with people, and connect. Well, Craig, you don't understand. If I said some of the things about me, people wouldn't connect with me. No, if you say some of the things about you, everybody will connect with you. Why? Because we've all got trash. And the church hides it. You don't have to do that. We spend our lives wearing masks and trying to be something that God didn't make us to be. Take me for all of my guilt and shame. Well, Craig, what if somebody talks about me? They screwed up. They're sinners. Go to them and say, I was vulnerable in front of you and you hurt my feelings. If they blow you off, come to me and say, I was vulnerable and they hurt my feelings. And I will go to them and say, what's up? You don't get to take your hand and cut off the foot. You need that foot. All of this intertwines. Make the connections. Let those connections cultivate Christ in you. And then, when the fruit begins to grow, contribute. Contribute mightily of your time, of your talent, of your tithe. All right? Small groups mean you enjoy one another's company despite one another's deficiencies. Small groups mean you do things together that are just because you can. Small groups mean that you get so close to your staff that you set up an elaborate Facebook prank just so they'll think you got a tattoo. What? It's not real. A lot of you were saying, well, it is real. A lot of you were saying, is it real? Yes. The question is it permanent? No. Can I tell you how giddy we were about all that? Can I tell you how much fun we had doing that? We called a tattoo artist in. We ordered the ink. We had it done together. We had the little, it was so much fun. Here's the problem. I like it. I want to make some adjustments, but Dad, it's not real. I could just see as soon as that Facebook came up. Dang it. I love my father, but he did good. He never said anything. Didn't ask me about it, didn't say a word. You know what that is to me? Fruit. Because we learned some things too. This little experiment didn't go exactly like we hoped in some ways. We learned some things. And you know what? I love you. We had a ball. And we giggled. And we planned. And do you know what the single greatest part of it is? That tattoo artist is looking for a home. And she thought that this was the coolest thing ever. That like a pastor and a worship guy would do. And a children's minister who already knew her. So we got to connect with her and her children. That was awesome. They're looking for a home. I hope that they'll come see us. That was probably the best thing that came out of all that. Our staff is a little small group. We get upset. I get on Si's nerves. Preston laughs. Vulnerable, real. We want that for you. Some of you know the pain of that. You've been in a relationship with somebody that you loved, but those you love hurt you the most, right? Does this set you up for a lot of pain? It does. It does. I won't lie to you, but I promise you this. The Bible teaches that we need each other and that we need to connect outside of this worship service. And so we will continue to provide that for you and to try to make a way to make that healthy church too. We're on our way. We got things to go, places to go, and people to see and things to learn, but we're on our way. And it's good. And it's good for us. Connect, cultivate, contribute. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to explain how the rest of the day is going to go down. All right? I love you. Let's pray. God, we appreciate all of the ways that Scripture speaks to our hearts. We need sometimes to have the soil of our hearts tilled up a little bit. Isn't that what God said, that the seed can land on all kinds of soil? Well, maybe some days we're concrete, and some days we're thorny ground, and some days we're good ground. But God, sometimes we need somebody to slap us on the back of the head, somebody to shake us a little bit, somebody to take the tiller to our yard so that it's ready to grow something besides weeds. My prayer this morning is for the weeds, that God, you would use some spiritual weed killer, some spiritual Roundup on hearts. But I pray, God, that right after that, that the sun shines down, blazes those weeds away, and that the wind and the rain and the beauty of the way you do things and the seasons of our lives bring massive amounts of fruit, both in each individual in our church and in our congregation. God, I thank you. I thank you for Brother Mike, Brother Jeff, for Miss Leslie, for Miss Heather. I thank you for all of the people sitting in this room that we want to call and cry out by name because we love them for their amazingness. And we love them for their stubbornness. We love them for their laughter, and we love them for their hard work. We love them because they're our wives. We love them because they're our friends. God, would you reach down this morning and begin to take up the Legos of our hearts and snap them together and prepare us to love one another unselfishly. In Jesus' name, amen.